Only in my dreams have I seen this game happening. And then I saw it in real life. I'm like, that didn't happen. Fuck that.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized.
Hey, guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field.
So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I'm your host for tonight. My name is Nick Walsh. I am here for the Week 8 recap with my good friend, my co-host, my confidant, my brother in the figurative sense, not the literal sense, like we're homies. I'm here with Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, what's up, dude?
Big time homies. What's going on, Walsh?
Not much, man. It's a classic Tuesday night. We've got the Week 8 recap podcast going. I'm half paying attention and half watching Game 6 of the World Series, hoping that it goes to 7 games so I can go out and get drunk with some Dodgers fans that I'm friends with tomorrow. But other than that, man, I'm doing pretty good. It's been a crazy couple days in the NFL.
Oh yeah,
and we will definitely get into that. But first, I definitely need to give a shout out to Bench Boss. Bench Boss is the revolutionary app that allows you to play fantasy football live while watching the game on TV. Predict the plays, the results of the play, and literally play fantasy football. And you can sign up for the beta now, guys, by going to letstalkfantasyfootball.com/benchboss. While I'm, you know, doing the plugs and whatnot, I will just say, you know, if you guys do enjoy the podcast, make sure you're subscribing on iTunes or whatever service that you use. If you like us, do give us a review. And definitely check out the Let's Talk Fantasy Football apps for both Apple and Android. So, with that out of the way, Vinny, it's been a fucking wild couple days in terms of NFL news and just the NFL trade deadline isn't like normally a thing. Like, it's not like the NBA or baseball where there's just like crazy shit leading up to it and you really need to monitor Twitter or whatever you're looking at leading right up to it. But this year it was really wild. What do you think of it, man?
Yeah, this was awesome. I woke up, my head popped off the pillow to like 20 texts and it's just like, JJ traded to the Eagles. I'm like, oh my God, what is happening? And then it got better too. There was way crazier shit going on all day. Like, this is the first time, I think we were talking about this all day, like that a lot of big name superstar guys are moving around. Like, this does not happen usually in the aspects of the NFL, which is completely wild. It shakes everything up and made like put a lot of teams more on the map, I think. And like, we're going for a Super Bowl. I'm talking about like the Bills, the Eagles, like just kind of going out there and getting high caliber dudes during this trade deadline.
Yeah, and I think this might be kind of like a sign for the future, because even in the offseason, like, trades have never really been huge things in the NFL. And this past offseason, we got the Watkins trade, the Matthews trade. Like, thinking back on it, the only big trade I can really remember, like, even in my lifetime before this season, was the Clinton Portis for Champ Bailey one, straight up. Like, you know, when I between the Broncos and the Redskins all those years back. Other than that, like, I can't think of a single trade. So this might be a sign of things to come in the future that we'll get some crazy shit.
Possibly. I like it.
Yeah, man, I'm a big fan. But before we get into that trade news, we have to talk about the Zeke suspension news. So basically the ruling came down that Zeke will have to serve his suspension. And for whatever reason, I feel like he's appealed like 3 times already. But for whatever reason, he has the ability to appeal again, and appeal he did. So the NFLPA has filed an appeal. I really don't know what that means. Do you understand whether or not he's going to be able to play and anything else? Because I'm like perplexed by this whole situation.
One more appeal, dude. He gets that last stamp and he gets a free meal.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I think with this news, though, obviously we do need to talk about the backs behind him and what that means for them. What do you think the situation here is going to be between Alfred Morris, Darren McFadden, and then Rod Smith as well, who has actually gotten some work even with Zeke on the field?
Yeah, the Smith thing was a little weird. We saw him get a lot of work in that 49ers game, but that was after people got pulled and stuff like that. But the split, I saw something today that Jerry Jones said that Alfred Morris will be the dude going forward. So take that for what you will. I think he should be because we've seen him, you know, get it done. Like you said, while Zeke is in the game and stuff like that. Haven't seen McFadden all season. So I think Morris is the safe bet, but McFadden's been with the team the longest, so I think it's going to be more of a split between those two. And I don't think Smith will factor in too much. I think when we saw him seize the opportunity in the 49ers game, that was just to get him out there, get some game reps in an actual game, even though it was like a complete blowout. So that's kind of the way I'm leaning. And I think if I wanted to own any of these guys, which, man, I don't know if it's even going to really pan out. Like, the line is great, but It's just going to be tough. I think it's more fantasy value towards like Dak and Dez than like Morris and McFadden for me. But I definitely lean Morris on this.
I could see that. Yeah, I think you're probably right on there between, you know, Morris being really the guy who benefits the most. And then McFadden and Smith, I think, should both probably be owned unless you're in like, you know, maybe not in a 10-team league. You don't need to go out and pick up Rod Smith. But if you're in a league where you've got like a roster spot, say like you've got like Deontay Foreman on your bench or something like that, like, yeah, fuck it. Go out and pick up McFadden or Rod Smith. I think you're right on though, where, you know, they're going to have to rely a little bit more on Dak and we'll see if he can handle that. But he's certainly probably going to increase in volume through this.
Yeah, definitely.
Into the trades, I guess. And we'll start with the first big one. The Niners trading a second round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, the assumption here is that he's just going to come in and start right away. This has interesting long-term implications because it likely means that if Jimmy Garoppolo has an okay end of the season, I don't know if the Niners are going to spend a first round pick on a quarterback, which you would have assumed they would have, you know, going into this, but in short-term value, basically, does this change how you view anyone on this team, any of the pass catching options or Carlos Hyde or Matt Breida?
I was trying to figure it out before. And I think as long as Pierre Garçon comes back healthy, I think that he'll, like, we saw his production pretty much dip when CJ Beathard got plugged into the starting lineup. So I think that his value goes up a little bit, not too much though, nothing crazy, but I think Garoppolo's way more of a better prospect than Beathard for sure. So it's got to bump up his value a little bit. And as far as the backs go, I think maybe Breida, but you know, that's just kind of like, he's the passing down back. And, you know, again, they're still playing like this weird hot hand shit, but they're down all the time. So that's kind of how I lean on that.
Okay. That's fair. Worth noting on Garçon that he has a pretty brutal schedule the rest of the way. So, you know, hopefully he is coming back healthy, but, for the rest of the season, they get the Cards. So Patrick Peterson, the Giants, so Janoris Jenkins, then the Seahawks, Bears, whatever, Texans, kind of whatever, Titans, whatever. And then your, you know, championship week, they play the Jaguars. So, not spectacular there. So I would temper expectations a little bit with Garçon, even if he does show some chemistry with Garoppolo, going into that. But yeah, I don't really know how to feel about this. I think it's probably safe to get rid of George Kittle if you add him at all. But that's, I guess, a separate story. Let's move on to the trade that you alluded to earlier, where Jay Ajayi was traded to the Eagles. So this was for a fourth rounder, which is pretty crazy in terms of the value that they view him with. What do you think about Ajayi's role on the Eagles? Is he going to take Blunt's role completely? Is he going to work there in with him? I don't know. It's difficult to say.
Yeah, I got one of those notifications that said, I think the front office was saying, or the VP or something like that for the Eagles was saying that Blunt will remain the starter, which is
for real.
Yeah, which was I was not expecting that. So it kind of muddles the situation, you know, a lot. So you're going to have Blunt, Smallwood, Clement, like, it's very nuts. And then all of a sudden, Jay Ajayi is here, who has been really, really awful. But the Dolphins have also been really, really awful. So I'm a little confused. And if you're a Jay Ajayi owner, this is, I guess, a positive because he's going to the Eagles, who are scoring a ton. So the upside to get a touchdown or something like that, which he hasn't gotten all season with the Dolphins, is definitely there. So I don't believe that they're going to make him like their workhorse at all. So I think his ceiling gets a little higher on the Eagles, but I think his floor is still about the same, which is pretty low.
Yeah, I mean, his floor has been pretty terrible this year on the Absolutely Dolphins.
Miserable.
And I think you are right there. I think he's likely to end up the primary first and down back, at least in or first and second down back, at least in between the 10s. The question I think is, does he get the goal line work? And then also, are they willing to trust him in pass protection and on passing downs? Are they going to let him run routes out of the backfield? So, it's difficult to say. It really is. It depends on probably the coaching staff and how quickly he adapts that playbook. If I were that coaching staff, I wouldn't want him in there on passing downs this first week coming out there because he doesn't know the blocking scheme yet. Things like that, you maybe don't even think about in terms of his role in the run game, that matters. So I would temper expectations at least to begin with Ajayi, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see his role gradually expand to the point where once we're into those fantasy playoffs, getting down the stretch, he's a very valuable guy and a guy that you can start every week. I guess the other question is, Blunt is owned, Smallwood is likely owned. I don't know if Corey Clement is owned. And it's interesting because Clement's a special teams guy for them, and not many teams really carry four running backs on their roster going into every week. So do you think there's a chance a guy like Blunt or a guy like Smallwood could end up being healthy scratches as we go down the stretch here?
Yeah, despite the report that I was alluding to before, I could see Blunt being a healthy scratch if they're going to use JHI as the first and second down back and the goal line back. So that would definitely be something to look out for. And a lot of Blunt owners should be worried about something like that, because I think Smallwood is good on passing downs. Clement is good on passing downs. So kind of like I think they're probably going to fight each other for the job here.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's very important if you own any of those backs, or even if you're just looking to maybe see what trade value you can get, or maybe someone is panicking, wants to trade Ajayi. Keep an eye out on the reports coming out of this week, and keep a huge eye out on how he's used this coming Sunday in the games. Do they don't have a bye this Sunday, do they?
The Eagles, they play... Yeah. They don't. Hold on. Who do they play? They play the Broncos at home.
Okay. So, that's probably going to be a tough game to begin with. But just make sure you're keeping a close eye on that going forward. The other huge trade in terms of just fantasy implications a major skill player, Kelvin Benjamin, traded to the Bills for a 3rd and 7th rounder. This one I think is interesting in a couple ways. You know what? We got to move back to the Ajayi one real quick because we didn't talk about the Dolphins and what they're going to look like now. So let's talk about that real quick. My apologies. I jumped the gun there, guys. What do you think about Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake now? Do you have a preference for either one of them on the waiver wire? Do you want either of them? I really don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, if I could stay away from that situation, I will. But, the way things have been going, a lot of injuries and shit like that, so especially in the running back situations. So I've been kind of trying to figure it out, and I'm just like, all right, the Dolphins are just pretty terrible. They lose JHI, who even though he's been bad, is a better player than both Drake and Williams. So I think they're going to be down a lot. They're going to have to pass a lot. So that's why I think Damian Williams would be the guy that I would want to pick up, because I think he'll factor in the passing work way more than Drake, who will probably be their, first and second down guy. And they're definitely going to split. There's no way one of these guys is going to be the workhorse. So I lean Williams pretty hard.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I also lean Williams. Just in general, I think I like him more as a running back. I think he's better just from what I've seen and, the stats on him, the physical profile. So when I really don't know, that's what I would use as the tiebreaker. So, yeah, Williams would be ahead of Drake, certainly on my waiver wire list. I'm like you as well, where if I can get other people, if I can get Alfred Morris, if I can get, other guys that we'll talk about later on and I'm in need of a running back, I'm going to do that for sure. So it's not a great situation to really attack at all, but if you're going to, I would prefer Williams. All right, cool. Let's move on to Carolina. or, you know, the Kelvin Benjamin trade that I talked about, as I said, traded for a third and seventh rounder. The Bills play on Thursday, so he doesn't have much time to get into this offense. But what's your take, you know, rest of the season take on Kelvin and this Bills offense?
You got to like it, man. I like it a lot. I like what Tyrod's going to be able to do with him, because we've seen, you know, it's pretty much Kelvin Benjamin and Sammy Watkins are almost one and the same. Kelvin's, you know, much taller, but other than that, they basically traded back for a different kind of version of Sammy Watkins. So I think we're going to see a lot of that in the Bills offense now. So despite, like, I'm going to, you know, kind of throw the Thursday night game out, because, you know, this is extremely short notice. He's probably going to get there, probably got here like sometime tonight, but it's, you know, what, 2 days, 3 days to prepare for this game. So we'll see what he does Thursday night. I'd be kind of scared to play him, but I think you have to. And season long, I love it. I'm really looking forward to it, because it's an awesome trade for them. They finally get a one.
Yeah, I think it's a great fit for Tyrod too, because he's generally been less of a precision guy and more of a, you know, chuck it up outside the numbers type guy. He's also a guy who can extend plays with his feet, and, you know, Kelvin Benjamin, if you can get him coming back to the ball or, you know, breaking deep or whatever it is, I really like how I think that's going to work out, just the big catch radius, all of it. So I'm really about it. It's also worth noting that the Bills' schedule towards the end of the season is pretty, pretty good. So the way they end the fantasy season, and this is including the playoffs, so the last 5 weeks, they get Kansas City, Indianapolis, New England, Miami, and then New England again. So that's one of the best schedules you could possibly have to end the season. Again, if you've got an owner in your league who's a little sketchy, maybe they don't like this trade, they don't think it's going to work out, I'd be looking to acquire Kelvin Benjamin if I can.
I'm right there with you on that.
What about the impact for the Carolina offense? So guys like Devin Funches, Curtis Samuel, and Christian McCaffrey, what do you think this does for them?
So I would love to say Funches is immediately like a wide receiver one in place of Kelvin, but I don't think he's going to be. I think it's going to lean more to McCaffrey, who's already leading the team in like targets and catches. So that was with Kelvin on the team. So I would be one of those guys trying to get McCaffrey before like the fantasy trade deadline per se. So I think it's just going to lean more. They're going to expand his role, and really, you know, since they invested that first round pick in him, I think they're going to try and bring him along much quicker and see what they can really do with him. And then like Curtis Samuel, like we've talked about him a little bit on the podcast sometimes. I don't really know if his role expands, but he's one of those gadget guys that could break something, but I'm not sure. But if you do own Funchess, I don't mean to like put him down too much. He's still a must play every week now that he's, you know, the one for the team, but I don't know if he'll pan out as a wide receiver one in fantasy, probably more like a pretty high end two.
Yeah, I think he's a wide receiver too the rest of the year, Devin Funches. I also think this might be an excuse to get McCaffrey out of the backfield and lining up in the slot a little bit more, because you would assume they'll have Samuel starting opposite Funches. And then I was going to mention this during Whack-Ass Backfields, but I'm just going to bring it up now. For whatever fucking reason, the Panthers decided they wanted to give Cameron Artis Payne some more work this past week. And they gave him 10 snaps, they gave him 4 carries, and they stated, we want to get him involved, and then they kind of did. So I think with this trade, that gives them more room to get Cameron Artis Payne, who for whatever reason they want to get involved a bit more, in the backfield while not necessarily taking Christian McCaffrey off of the field. So just something to keep in mind there, I guess, that you might see McCaffrey running out of the slot or maybe even lined up outside a bit more here. I think that does it for, oh no, we had one more trade. I'll skip down to that real quick. This isn't a skill position player or anything like that, but we do have the Seahawks trading for offensive tackle Dwayne Brown, who has been very good in the past, but only played one game so far this year due to a contract dispute with the Texans. It's no question, though, even though he's only played one game this year, this is an upgrade for their offensive line, which has definitely struggled. So not something that's really going to change your opinion too much, but certainly something that's good for Russ and crew over there.
Yeah, give them a little bit more time instead of they lived and die on especially last week on like the play action pass, and they just had to do it every play. So maybe they can get more pocket stuff going for Russell Wilson, you know, not get him killed.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly something good for them. And then outside of the trade news, we have a quote from the Cardinals GM, and then Bruce Arians commented on it later as well. But the quote from the GM was, "We will continue to monitor that and to see if he can come back this season," in reference to David Johnson. So they're not sounding as optimistic as before, where the reports are he might be back by Thanksgiving, whatever else. They're not sounding as optimistic that David Johnson is going to be back this season. And I think that makes sense because their season's shot. They lost Carson Palmer. Why would they risk it if there's any sort of chance that he's not ready? I don't know. Do you think we're going to see David Johnson on the field again this season?
No, I'm right there with you. They lost Palmer. They brought in AP to replace him anyway. And, you know, they're just, like you said, they're shot. Their record is terrible and they have a bad, bad team. So why would you bring him back? He's like the franchise pretty much at this point. So I would not bring him back. I'd be surprised if we see him, but it sucks for fantasy owners because you can't drop him yet because he could still maybe come back. And if you had him this long, like, fuck, just hold on, I guess. But until he goes like officially on IR, I think a lot of people will still hold on to him.
Yeah, I think what I would try to do is look for that one team in the league that's like really fucking up the league, like just like a team that's like 7-1 at this point or something like that, and they're real cocky and they think that maybe they could get rid of some depth for a guy like David Johnson because that might put him completely over the top in the playoffs. And try and convince that guy that you know they want David Johnson for someone, you know that's a very specific scenario. It might not be available.
But it's also like if you're gonna do that, like take anybody because you're not gonna be able to use David. Like sell him low as fuck. Like what does it matter at this point?
Take like Devin Funches for him.
Yeah, that's very good. Well, that's very fair, I guess. if we're trying to fleece somebody for someone who's not gonna play, you can take what you get.
You look for someone who's a good team with too much depth at one position that they can't play a guy every week. So like, for example, a guy who should be started every week like Funches, or, you know, say someone, I don't know, who's like, nah, Jerick McKinnon's too good. I don't know. You get the idea, though.
Yeah, I got you. I'm trying to think of names, too. I didn't mean to leave you out there hanging, but...
Yeah, no, it's hard. It's cool. But, you know, look for a team maybe with a little bit too much depth at one position. Try and sell them David Johnson for one of their better depth guys. I think that's the optimal strategy if you can make it happen. Other news, Josh Gordon's reinstatement hearing is set for this Wednesday. I guess we'll just talk about this as well. I think if you have... you know, an empty roster spot and maybe like a lower waiver wire priority, I don't think he's the worst pickup in the world.
I think he is pretty bad. It's a bad pickup.
When
are you going to use Josh Gordon, man? Let's say he gets reinstated, dude, and then he's somehow active Sunday. What are you doing?
I mean, I'm not playing him.
Exactly, dude. It's a waste.
Yeah, but what if he goes off? Like, what if he has like... 4 catches for 70 yards on Sunday. Then are you going to play
him the next
week?
That wouldn't be going off for the Browns, but it's like it's just I don't know. It's kind of a waste. It's for me, I think it's just like, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know. I have been wrong about fucking everything this year, so
I mean, it's probably going to come back and tear it up. It's also worth noting that he doesn't have a good matchup until week 14 against the Packers. So. That's kind of shitty.
Yeah, dude.
Is that week 14? No, that's week 13, maybe.
Either way.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's tough. Yeah, we'll see what happens, really. I think it's worth a big up if you don't have anyone better. But that's a big if. And then the last bit of news that we wanted to get to is that Janoris Jenkins got suspended indefinitely by the Giants for violating a team rule. He's been their best cornerback this year. The word around, you know, most of the beat writers and experts believe that indefinitely means just for one game. But if it is just for one game, then there are some implications for this week that we can talk about a little bit later on. Just something to keep in mind there. You got anything else on the news, Vinny?
That's it. Crazy, crazy ass week.
Yeah, man. Pretty wild. Do you want to run through some of these injuries then?
Yeah. So this was gruesome as shit. I'm pretty sure everybody saw it. The Zach Miller injury. He's out for the season for sure. Almost lost his leg, but I think he had some vascular surgery and they got that thing pumping again. I hope he's okay. But that was particularly gross.
Yeah, it's unlikely that he like plays in the NFL again.
Yeah, we've seen some crazy stuff, but that was pretty drastic.
Yeah, and his touchdown got overturned on that,
which play was complete bullshit. I didn't think they could top the ASJ one, but man, I didn't even see anything on that one.
Yeah, I have no idea why they did. They said like did what they did there. I don't understand it at all. I don't understand NFL catch rules. I don't understand fumble rules. And I don't think anyone does, including NFL officials.
Yeah, just fucking winging it. Staying with the tight ends who got injured. Surprise, it's Jordan Reed. He had a shock. Hamstring this time again for like the 28th time in his career. So he's week to week with that. And now Vernon Davis is emerging. He's already been doing well. Like if you were in like a deeper league, like a 12-team, 14, you could have been playing Vernon Davis and doing fine. Now he's going to get some volume. So I'm excited to see what Vernon Davis is doing. And, you know, we're going to talk about him later at the waivers, but it's pretty big news for, you know, the tight end position always sucks. So if he's out in your waivers, make him a priority.
Yeah. He should be started in every league whenever Jordan Reed doesn't play.
Which is crazy. I did not think Vernon Davis would keep playing, but he looks really good.
Yeah, man. I like it.
And we saw Chris Hogan mess up his shoulder. He doesn't need surgery, but he's going to miss some time. They're on their bye week, which is pretty cool. So you're missing time anyway. And then we've seen some crazy stuff. We've seen some guys come back way ahead of schedule, like Golden Tate last week. So keep an eye on it. Don't freak out. But hopefully he'll be back like right after the bye for week two. It'll be week 10. And I guess Danny Amendola gets a bump. I guess Brandon Cooks gets a bump. Pretty much everybody, right?
Yeah, I would think the rest of the pass catching targets get a bit of a bump. You know, they had a tough week this week, but the Chargers are kind of a tough team for that. So I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. And then my guy, Pierre Garçon, goes down with a neck injury pretty early in the game and then just didn't come back because I guess they didn't want to, you know, to make it worse than it was. So a little good and bad. Missed out on some huge garbage time, though, because, you know, the Eagles were just destroying them. But he should be okay, I think, Walsh. Like, he'll be back this week.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything to say that he would be out. So I would assume he'll be back unless we hear anything further.
Yeah, and then the number one QB in the league, Joe Flacco, who's in concussion protocol, should be back for this week. So, which is shocking as hell. I thought he was going to be out for a while, but we've seen that was one of the crazier hits. Like the Devontae Adams hit was pretty bad. Joe Flacco almost topped it, but
yeah,
he'll be back too. And then who do we got? Cole Beasley with another concussion. He's week to week. I guess that's whatever for now. No one's really in a rush to start Cole Beasley. And then another.
Yeah, I don't think it does really too much there, right?
Nah, not too much. I mean, I guess they could have used him if Zeke is going to be out, if they need to attack in the pass game more. But
right,
what the fuck do we know about that right now?
We'll see. Bryce Butler.
Put him in the slot. Put him everywhere.
Line him up in the backfield.
New Zeke.
It's like Zeke, but better.
Bryce Butler, better than Zeke in every way. Staying in the concussion protocol, we got Duke Johnson, but he's out of the concussion protocol because he was cleared before they left jolly old London. So that's good. And they're also on their bye week. So another situation that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, some of the Duke Johnson, like him leaving, might have had something to do with Crowell's pretty big game, which we'll get to in a little bit. Let's see. I think before we go into our waiver wire pickups, just based on where we are, we should probably take a quick break. So let's hear real quick from our buddies over at Bench Boss, and we'll be right back.
This year, dominate your friends with free play-by-play fantasy football from BenchBoss. BenchBoss is the first play-by-play fantasy football game where you must think like the players and coaches on the field as you predict the outcome of every play. Earn rewards as you compete against friends and fans across the country. BenchBoss is currently recruiting beta testers, and we need you. Visit BenchBoss.tv to learn more and sign up today.
All right, guys, that was BenchBoss. Make sure you are checking them out, signing up for that beta. Vinny, we've got some waiver wire pickups to go. We've got some cool shit and some weak shit. And then we're going to break down that Thursday night game for you guys. So we got a little bit to do here still. Let's start with the waivers and let's start at quarterback. You know, when we talk about quarterback waivers, we're mostly talking streamers. The every week starters are probably on a team. So we've got a couple streamers here that we think, you know, should really do it. And we'll call back to some of the news from earlier. My first streamer was Jared Goff against the New York Giants, specifically because Janoris Jenkins is suspended for this game. So their starting secondary right now is Eli Apple and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. That is not a good starting secondary in 2017. And I like Jared Goff a lot in this game to put up a passable week for you. What do you think about Goff? And then who's the next guy on the list that we have?
I love Goff. That is a great stream. And we've actually seen like the Giants when they've been fully healthy with Janoris Jenkins in there. I guess it doesn't matter because he's suspended. Wrong call by me. But we've seen people carve him up and we've seen Jared Goff carve up defenses regardless. So I think this was a fine matchup anyway coming into this week. And now the Janoris Jenkins thing just makes it all that much more sweet. The next guy we have is a guy who's been slinging constantly. And if you've been playing him every single week, you're doing completely fine, pretty well, actually, Josh McCown. And he enters the dreaded Thursday night football against the Bills, who have a good defense, but have been getting, you know, kind of smacked up lately. So I think it's kind of like the Goff situation. Like it's an opposing defense, an intimidating defense on paper, but can totally get beat.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's worth noting that this past week, the Bills had two of their four starters in the secondary out. I'm not sure exactly what their status is going into this Thursday night game. But if either of those guys are out again, we saw Sharice Wright start at cornerback for the Bills. He is a terrible NFL cornerback. So, you know, if they're still having those health issues, all the better for Josh McCown going into this week. And then the last guy, of course, with me and Vinny on the podcast, I mean, like, it sounds, again, it sounds stereotypical, but I legitimately think Jay Cutler is a pretty solid streamer this week against Oakland. They are at home. Oakland has given up a lot of points to QBs this season. They also have had injury issues in the secondary. Both David Amerson and Garyon Conley did not play, as well as their starting safety Carl Joseph this past week. So if those injury issues continue, all the better for Cutler. He also gets Devontae Parker back, who he had actually shown to have some pretty decent chemistry with those first couple weeks they were together. What do you think of Cutler this week, Vinny?
I'm going to not try and be like how we usually are, like start Jay Cutler, fuck you, because we said so. Because this is a good matchup, and the way I'm looking at it is JGI's gone. So they're not going to run the football. Maybe they might not even run it like 15 or 20 times. They might not even come close. So at the very least, Jay Cutler will be throwing a ton. And like you said, Parker's back. Landry always gets a lot of work regardless. And I think they're going to use Damian Williams a lot out of the backfield. So Cutler does stand a nice chance to put up a very good fantasy day for you, especially against your Oakland Raiders, Walsh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, the Raiders are, I want to say it's the first team since like the 1950s to not have a single interception in the first 8 weeks of the season, or the first eight games of a season, which is awful. So you should play quarterbacks against them, even if they're Jay Cutler.
Maybe Jay Cutler will be nice and, you know, just kind of gift him one. He doesn't really throw them, so it's kind of tough.
If we can't get a pick against Jay Cutler, I don't know what the fucking deal is.
It's like worse than the Saints secondary from like 2 years ago.
Yeah, dude, really, really wild how bad and how you know, useless at getting turnovers the Raiders defense has been. I think that'll do it for the quarterbacks for us. Let's move on to running back, where there's a lot of names here and a lot of names that we already talked about. We'll start with Alex Collins, and these aren't in any particular order, though I think Collins probably Yeah, maybe Alfred Morris instead, but Collins and Alfred Morris, I think, are the top two for me. Alex Collins had a great game. It was against the Dolphins on Thursday night, but he showed that if the Ravens can get up, he's been running the ball effectively, and if they give him enough carries, he's going to do well with it.
Yeah, I agree. I thought you put Collins up there on purpose, but I agree with you. I think he should be one. I think I'd pick him over Alfred Morris, to be honest, because with the Zeke shit, like, I'm just I don't want to even, like, kind of, you know, get involved in that at this point because they just appealed, so who knows. But I like Alex Collins a lot. He does seem a little bit game script dependent. They use him
completely.
Yes, that's one of the worries, but he's the best you can get right now at running back, so I would make him a top priority. Probably the number one waiver of the week, as long as some of these huge wide receivers that we're going to touch on aren't there. So if your waiver wire's dried up and he's still there, he's number one for me.
Cool. The rest of the guys that we have listed here are the guys who we've really already talked about, so I don't know if we need to go into too much detail, but the Cowboys guys, Alfred Morris, Darren McFadden, and Rod Smith, we told you what we think about them before. And then the Dolphins running backs, Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake. We also told you about that. We like Williams a little bit better there. So let's talk about Marlon Mack, who might still be out there on your waiver wires. For the first time this season, he outsnapped Frank Gore this week. Do you take that as a sign that this is becoming his backfield, or is that a one-week thing?
I would love to say it's like going to continue throughout the rest of the season, but I just don't know because Chuck Pagano's weird as fuck and could go right back to Gore next week. And it was they almost beat the Bengals like this, so it was kind of a more balanced attack. But like you said, Marlon Mack did outsnap Gore, which is cool. Very involved in the passing game, so he does have a floor for you if you're going to throw him in PPR leagues already. So I would love to see it continue. I just can't bank on Pagano, so I would love to see, you know, more of it this week. They go against the Texans, so I think at the very least he'll be involved in a lot of passing because I think Deshaun Watson's going to throw all over them. So they're going to be playing a lot of catch-up, so I think this week he could be a nice play.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, he has a decent schedule the rest of the way. And, you know, if this is the beginning of the end for Frank Gore being the lead back in this backfield, you're going to want to jump on it now. I think if he's out there, you should definitely be going after him. Are there any other running backs that you want to talk about?
Devontae Booker. He's not on the list, but I think he's definitely worth an ad. The Broncos are terrible. And what we've seen is that C.J. Anderson is clearly the best back, but they're not able to run him like they want to because the game script is so bad. And then Devontae Booker comes in, and their schedule gets a whole lot worse. They talked about exclusively on Sunday night when it just like the Patriots are coming up. I forget that they think it's the Seahawks too. It's going to be really tough. So I think there's going to be a lot of passing work to go around and just more snap share for Devontae Booker going forward. So I think he's definitely worth an ad.
Yeah, that's a very good point. He's someone I should have had on that list. For reference, Devontae Booker did have 34% of the snaps this past week, where C.J. Anderson had 48%. That's pretty close. And with C.J. not getting over 50% of the snaps, you can kind of see where that's going. Booker ended up with 6 carries. He did have 3 targets that led the share for running backs in terms of, you know, C.J. Booker and Jamaal Charles. So 6 carries, 3 targets. He also got a touchdown, so he was in there in the red zone. It doesn't look like they really have a clear guy who's their goal line or red zone or inside the 10 type back. It seems like they're just kind of going to rotate that around. So, yeah, Booker probably should be owned because his workload keeps going up. And he's the kind of guy where, since they don't have that clear red zone back, maybe he'll get you a touchdown any week.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you know, shaking out very weird because it seems like Jamaal Charles is the guy on the outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Charles is clearly getting less work and, you know, less snap share than the other two guys. So I don't really see that changing too much. Let's move to wide receiver and start with my favorite, the guy who really won me this week in our league.
Yeah, man.
It was funny. I was texting our buddy Blake, because it was looking to me like I was going to win. Like, I was like, I have a pretty good shot at winning this. And then the fourth quarter of the late afternoon games happened, And he had DeAndre Hopkins and Jimmy Graham, who both just went nuts in the fourth quarter, put up a ton of points. I was like, ah, fuck, like I might be done for. And I texted him and I was like, it's cool, dude. Juju will save me. Just kind of joking. And he saved me with a 97-yard touchdown.
He fucking saved you, man. That was incredible. I definitely thought he was getting caught too. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just sitting here. Like when he caught the ball, I like got up out of my seat and I thought he was going to start slowing down. I was like, no. And he just kept going. So yeah, Juju Smith-Schuster is our number one wide receiver pickup. If he's not already owned, I own him in a couple weeks already. So I'm pretty happy about that. But despite the fact that, you know, he had a 97-yard touchdown, which is obviously not going to happen every week, he had 10 targets in this game. That's a lot. They're not going to take him off the field, even if Martavis gets brought back from the practice squad or, you know, not playing this week. He's going to be on the field the majority of the snaps. He's going to be playing opposite Antonio Brown in that offense. I think he has standalone value as a starter pretty much every week going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. How can you sit him now? And just to note, they used him on the game like clinching play instead of Bell, instead of Brown. They went to him in a very, you know, brilliantly designed play where they shovel pass it to him and use the other guys as distractions. But that just shows they have a lot of faith in him too. So I like the way they're using him. And I don't know, I guess keep an eye on Brian, but like what the fuck ever. Juju is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I've dropped Brian in a couple of leagues already. I've picked up Juju for it. He's great. He's a lot of fun. He's a lot of fun to watch. He's a fun follow on Twitter. And great fantasy pickup. Let's move on to Corey Davis, who started off getting a lot of targets for the Titans. Then got hurt, has been out for a long time. He should be cleared this week. So we'll see how that shakes out. But do you have any interest in Corey Davis picking him up if his initial owner dropped him?
Yeah, definitely worth an ad. You can roster him. I'd be scared to play him, though, which is fine, because if you're picking up Corey Davis, you don't have to have the intention of playing him. You can just kind of see how things go this week, because Rishard Matthews has been okay. Decker has been awful. Delanie Walker's hurt. So really, like, Corey Davis should come in and get, you know, like week one, he was targeted, what, like 6 or 8 times. So I would like to see him get that volume again. And then as long as the targets are there, he's a very talented guy. As long as they lean on him, you know, he's going to have more value than those other guys I mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. The Titans have been a very hard team to predict from week to week. Like, the guy who gets the most targets has not necessarily been the same guy who gets the most targets the next week. I'm hoping that might change with Corey Davis when he comes back here, but at least worth a speculative ad if you have the roster spot. We mentioned Josh Gordon, you know, Vinny doesn't like him, you know, I think it might be worth it. Talk to me about the last two guys that we have here though. And then maybe anyone else that you have on your list.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we talked about Curtis Samuel before. If you guys want to add him, he's going to be the number two option in the passing game. So it seems, at least on the depth chart there. So speculative ad, gadget player could break something big for you. So kind of a Ted Ginn sort of player, if that makes sense. So he's definitely worth it. He's worth an ad too. Paul Richardson, man, saved Shrek's ass big time in the craziest way I've ever seen. With he was going to play Kenny fucking Golladay if he was active. So good thing he wasn't. Picked up Paul Richardson, got 2 touchdowns. He had 3, but one was taken away on a penalty, and played 81% of the Seahawks snaps. And, you know, had the best day out of everybody. Outshined Doug Baldwin, outshined Lockett. Definitely worth an ad. I don't know about playing him week to week. It's a little scary at times because I feel like any of those pass catchers could have the bigger day, and it might be a rotation. But man, you got to add him after that big week and see if it's anything that's going to hold.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of teams on bye this coming week, so you know he might be a guy who's just a good play for you. You know, and just in general, while we're still running through these bye weeks, he's a guy you can at least take a risk on and know that there's a chance he'll catch a touchdown or catch a deep ball, that sort of thing. And then kind of evaluate what you think about him as you go further into the year. Did you have any other wide receivers you want to talk about, Vinny?
Yeah, I have two more guys. One of them, I was just shocked at his low own percentage across, like, you know, fantasy sites. Mohamed Sanu, who's been kind of emerging, doing, you know, almost better than Jones at times while the game is happening. I don't know about, you know, season long or how it ranks out on the scale, but he's been looking pretty good when he's out there. It seems to be the go-to almost for the Falcons this year, which, you know, they haven't been great, but he seems to be the one playmaker right now.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he's not not as highly owned. He should definitely be owned in all leagues.
Yeah, for sure. And like at the very least, he averages somewhere like 7 to 9 targets a game. So that's, I don't understand why he's not owned, you know, worldwide.
Yes, worldwide.
Worldwide. My other guy is, I believe I looked up today and was shocked, wide receiver 11, Robbie Anderson, which is fucking wild as hell. He's been great. I think it has a lot to do with the deep balls he's catching, but hey man, if he's going to be doing that week in, week out, he's absolutely worth an ad. Another low owned guy who's well within like top 15 wide receiver right now in fantasy. So if he's not owned in your league, definitely pick him up.
Yeah, he's getting at least 6 targets a game pretty much every game. And with the big playability that he has, that's a guy who, you know, you can comfortably rely on, I think, to start every week, you know, in pretty much any format. So, yeah, absolutely about the Robbie Anderson ad. He's another guy. I don't think I realized that he was that low owned.
And that high.
All right, let's move on. Yeah, yeah, that really is crazy that he's, you know, that high in wide receiver rankings. But you know, keep it going. Downtown Josh McCown is going to keep slinging the pig. So we'll see how it works. Let's talk about the tight ends. I've got 3 of them here. One of them we talked about already in Big Vern. He is the guy when Jordan Reed is out, but also Jack Doyle, man, the last 4 games, he's had 7, 11, 7 and 14 targets. He appears to be Jacoby Brissett's number one guy there ahead of T.Y. Hilton. And he's got to be owned and started in every league.
I completely agree with you, man. Definitely taking away from T.Y. Hilton. And it's because the defenses focus all their efforts on him because he's one of the best wide receivers in the league. Their matchups aren't great coming up. I think they have the Jaguars again, too. So that always sucks. And Jack Doyle is going to be the guy over the middle. So I like it a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. We also have Tyler Kroft of your Bengals. He's averaging 5.5 targets per game over the past 4 weeks, and he has 3 touchdowns during that span. So pretty decent red zone usage. Not a must start guy, not really even a must own guy, but a guy where if maybe you're in a bye week bind, that sort of thing, he's the best guy on the waiver wire. I wouldn't be afraid of starting Tyler Kroft.
Yeah, very well said. The Bengals, he's pretty much the Bengals' second wide receiver right now, which is absolutely crazy. And they're, you know, leaning on him in the absence of Tyler Eifert. And it seems to be paying off at least a little bit. So like you said, yeah, if you're in a pinch, you can add him. You can play him. It's whatever.
Cool, man. You got any other tight ends for us?
No, I see we have Vernon Davis listed again, but we talked about it before. I think, man, I don't know. Would you rather pick up Doyle or Vernon Davis going forward for like the rest of the season?
I think I'd rather have Doyle rest of the season just because Jordan Reed's health, I think, is you know, the big difference there. If you were to tell me Jordan Reed's going to miss the entire rest of the season, I might go with Vernon Davis, but I'd go Doyle.
Yeah, that's a good point. That was kind of a dumb question because it hinges on the health of Reed, but that's always in question. So I do lean Doyle on that as well.
All right, man. Let's go into some cool shit and then some weak shit, which I think the weak shit this week is basically entirely the whack-ass backfields, and there are a fucking bunch of them. We already talked about some of them. But anyway, cool shit, man. Deshaun Watson is matchup-proof.
We should apologize, dude. We were so wrong.
Yeah.
Watson, Fuller, everything that happened.
Yeah. It's really wild. He just continues to do it in every single matchup, every single situation. He does it through the air. He does it with his legs. He gets Indianapolis this week, which, like, weirdly, it's felt like Indy has kind of been a letdown game. Like, we keep saying, like, it should be, like, this incredible spot, and people don't seem to do as well as you'd think against them.
They play people tough and keep the game close. So there really hasn't been a huge blow up, but they're always worth a good stream, and they, you know, they do well, but like you said, not that well.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Watson. You're not going to start Watson against Indy. Like, of fucking course you're going to start him. Right. And you're going to start him every week of the season from here on out unless something crazy happens, basically.
Yep. I sincerely apologize. Watson is the truth.
Yeah, me too. I also apologize for that. And even, like, even in terms of, like, real-life quarterback, like,
who's amazing,
I was really man. Low. I was really low on Watson coming into the draft. I thought like he was very overdrafted. And it appears I was wrong. Another cool thing.
Just a little bit.
Another cool thing in that game, you alluded to Will Fuller there. He actually set a season high in targets this week with 8 targets, and Watson didn't throw the ball all that many times where, like, you know, it wasn't like a 50 pass game or that kind of thing. So Fuller gets 8 targets. That's the best he's gotten all season. You know, his TD rate still continues to defy all math. And, you know, it's bound to not continue like this. But if he's going to continue to get 6 to 8 targets a game, then he's still a start. The guy has fucking 7 touchdowns on 13 catches. That's like the stupidest shit I've ever seen in my life.
I know.
Whatever.
We blew it on that too. But, like, I'll take the loss on that one. I still think it's going to not continue, so fuck it. Keep doing it.
Oh, I don't care. Yeah, totally. If you can find someone who overvalues him because of those touchdowns, still trade him. But yeah, I think now that his usage is up a little bit, I think he's still an every week starter until further notice.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, Isaiah Crowell. Let's talk about him. Get you real pumped on stuff.
What a sack of shit, dude.
Yeah, his first big game of the season, really. The
worst matchup imaginable. I don't buy it, by the way.
You don't? So the 11 carries, 64 yards and a touchdown, 4 catches, 54 yards. You're not buying Crowell going forward.
No, only in my dreams have I seen this game happening. And then I saw it in real life. I'm like, that didn't happen. Fuck that. Also, I think you said it before. Duke Johnson left the game. Definitely bumped up his staple drives. He had like all those targets, all those catches. So definitely buffed it up a little bit. But if you played Crowell this week, bravo. Bravo, sir.
Yeah, if you played him, I mean, you might have just been like backed into a corner with bye weeks. But fuck, it worked out.
Oh, yes, it
did. So. We'll see if it happens again. I don't know that it will, but we will see. And then let's move over to the Vikings side of the ball. Jerick McKinnon outsnapped and outproduced Latavius, even in this big win where you would think Latavius might be the guy getting more of the work. McKinnon's clearly the better back. He's clearly more talented, and he's really showing it. And I think he's – is it crazy to say McKinnon's a top – 7 running back start the rest of the year?
I'll be a bitch and back it up to 10, a top 10.
I was going to say top 5, and then I was like, that might be way too...
Yeah, it's a little stiff.
Yeah.
yeah, I wouldn't think, you know, 7 or 10 is crazy. He just looks... The eye test is what's the most impressive thing right now, because he looks great, and the offense looks so much better with him in there. Like, Latavius, they try and slow the game down, and they do just the wrong kind of slow down the way you would want it. So they just look way better with McKinnon out there. McKinnon looks great. Very surprising to me, man, because he's had the opportunity before and is seizing it now for some reason with Case Keenum as the quarterback.
I think it's that offensive line being better than in the past. But, you know, it just seems like they figured out how to use him. He's getting the blocking that he needs. So I love it. And then the last one I wrote down here, but we already kind of talked about it, was Robbie Anderson. Continues to get the work, continues to produce, continues to get those deep shots. If he's on your waiver wire, pick him up.
Hell yeah.
All right, man, you ready to talk about some whack-ass backfields?
Nope.
Sweet, let's do it. The first one, as it almost always is the New England fucking Patriots, man. This is when I looked up the snap percentages for these, I was like, oh God, how do I rationalize starting any of these guys ever again for the rest of the season?
I know.
Deion Lewis, 35% of the snaps. Rex Burkhead, 31% of the snaps, out of nowhere, seemingly. James White, 23% of the snaps. Mike Gillisley, 15% of the snaps. White and Lewis I'm sorry, not White and Lewis. Gillislee and Lewis were used on the ground. Lewis led the running backs in touches. I believe he had 18. Two of them were in the pass game. And then Burkhead and White were both used in the pass game. Burkhead getting 7 targets and White getting 6 targets. What the fuck do you make of this? And who do you want to start, if anyone?
I would hate to have to start anybody, but I'm never starting Gillislee ever. Let's get that out of the way.
Correct.
Burkhead too. Like, I would never do that. I don't care if he's on the field for the majority. He's getting 7 targets or random shit like that. I still think White is that pass catching back for them. So I trust White and Lewis way more. I think they're more defined, even though the snap share is, you know, weird with Burkhead the most. Like, I don't know why he's out there, but he continues to get some sort of work, but I'm never going to trust that enough to throw him in a lineup. But I do like Lewis and White still. I don't know. They're just, this is the same old shit. It's the Patriots, man. That's what they do.
I think going into this week, particularly again with bye weeks and whatnot, I'm kind of willing. Oh, wait, they're at the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
No, they have a bye this week, don't they?
Wait a minute. Let me check. Yes, they're on bye.
So they have a bye
the week after.
Yeah, and then they're at the Broncos the week after, which is kind of a tough matchup. I don't think there's any way to distinguish between who's the best start. Like in a PPR league, I don't think there's any way to distinguish between the best start between Lewis, White, and Burkhead. I have no idea which one of them is the best start. Therefore, I might start all of them and just kind of get burned by it. But I don't know.
They're like the guys you put in your flex, especially during bye weeks now. Like, I know Don did it last week and White worked out for him. Deion Lewis worked out a little bit for Shrek when he plugged him in his flex. It's fine for a flex play for any of those guys you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Let's move on to the Panthers. We kind of talked about this. The reason I put him in here was because they said they wanted to get Cameron Artis Payne some more work, and they did. So I want to see if that's a trend, and then how that affects McCaffrey and then Stewart, who got a touchdown this week, who I'm never comfortable starting ever. I don't know. What's your opinion on this Panthers backfield?
I really don't know. I'm just still really out on Jay Stew, and then whatever Cameron Artis Payne is willing to do, I will never buy into it. It's too late in the season for something like this to kind of develop. And I like McCaffrey a lot, especially with Kelvin Benjamin leaving. So I think even when Cameron Artis Payne is on the field, like you said before, McCaffrey could still be on the field as well. So even though they gave him 10 snaps, I'd like to know if McCaffrey was still out there, if they ran a 2-back or he was wide receiver. So I don't know. I think Cameron Artis Payne has really no value, I don't think, going forward. And then McCaffrey's the guy.
Cool. That works for me. Let's move on to the Raiders. Marshawn Lynch should be coming back this week, though he did miss practice today for some unknown reason. Del Rio was like, yeah, I thought he was going to be here, but he just wasn't at practice.
I love Marshawn Lynch so much.
He's
doesn't
like,
give a shit, dude.
He's great, and I love him as a person. I love him as like a social media presence. He's not helping the team at all, which is unfortunate. And this past week, if you started either Washington or Rashard, particularly in PPR, they both kind of worked out for you. Olawale vultured the touchdown, but what can you do there? Lynch coming back makes all of them unstartable.
Yep, it goes right back to, I don't know what the fuck to do, so I'm not going to do anything. And I wouldn't play Lynch either, to be honest.
No, you can't be playing Lynch at this point in the season. He hasn't shown anything that would make you think he can be a starter.
No, except for his week one highlights in like the first half. That was the best I've seen him all season.
Pretty much, man, pretty much. Let's move on to we talked about the Broncos for the most part, right, with CJ and Devontae Booker. Do you think we need to touch on that more, or?
Nah, not really. It's just the game script, whatever you think it's going to be. Obviously, the Broncos look bad. I'd be, you know, you got to check out the quarterback situation. Maybe they change it up, but again, they won't get better with the quarterback change with like Paxton Lynch or Simeon or Brock Osweiler. So it's more of a lateral movement there. So I don't know. I just think the Broncos are bad now. So if you're willing to think that they're going to be bad going forward, then I think, like I said before, Devontae Booker, pick him up because they're going to be down a lot and willing to get him involved in the passing game there.
Fair enough. And then let's talk about the Falcons here. Freeman still had more snaps than Tevin Coleman rather. And, but the thing is Devontae Freeman had fewer carries and fewer overall touches than Tevin Coleman this week, which is worrisome. If you're a Freeman owner, he really hasn't done much these past couple of weeks. I don't believe he's gotten in the end zone. What do you make of Devontae Freeman? And then what do you make conversely of Tevin Coleman going forward, who I think is kind of a flex start at this point?
Yeah, he's starting to get to that point, but interesting to note, a kind of an under the radar injury that I didn't even mention before, but I remember now because I watched the whole game. Freeman left, I think sometime in the early fourth with a shoulder injury, and he should be okay. But that's why I think Coleman got, you know, more carries and more targets and stuff like that during the Jets game that, you know, this past weekend. But so obviously watch out for Freeman, see if he practices and stuff like that. But going forward, I think it's going to be the same if they're both healthy. Freeman all the way, and then Coleman's that gamble start. Unless Freeman misses time, I still think the same of both of them.
Okay, that's fair. That makes a lot of sense to me. And I think that'll pretty much wrap up whack-ass backfields for this week. There are certainly some more backfields that are pretty whack-ass, but it's a lot of the ones that we talk about most weeks, and I don't think that have had too many changes in their structure or what they're going to look like going forward. Let's get into a little Thursday night football, Vinny. Sound good?
That sounds terrific, and it's going to be a great one.
I'm honestly pretty excited for this game.
This one actually could be really cool. That was overly sarcastic on my side.
My two dudes, Ty Godd and Downtown McCown, just slinging it, dude.
This has all the makings to be like that 49ers-Rams game all over again. It's like, yeah, right? We assume they're terrible, but they're going to light it up.
Yeah, hopefully. So just to clarify, we've got Buffalo at the Jets. Buffalo is a 3-point favorite with an over-under of 43 here. You know, we've got these changes for Buffalo. Obviously, Kelvin Benjamin should be active this game. I don't know how much he'll be used, but he should be active and out there running some routes. You said you kind of have to roll out Benjamin this week. Are you still on that? I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be listening to a lot of reports going into it, like from the coaches, if that makes sense.
Yeah. The only thing I would be sketched out about with that is if they're trying to, you know, trick the opponent. Like, he's not going to play a lot of snaps. He's not going to see a lot of plays. So, and that could be a decoy kind of deal. And then he can go out there and have a great game. And I will say about Kelvin, he just has to get one 50-50 ball from Tyrod. If it's a deep bomb, if it's in the red zone, he can make you weak that way. So I think you just throw him out there. And look, you drafted Kelvin pretty high as it is. I think he's probably going around the third or fourth. He's your one or two most likely. And you might not have, like, there are six teams on bye this week too. So you're not going to have a better option than Kelvin Benjamin. It sucks to throw him out there on Thursday. It sucks that it's such short notice on a new team, but the upside's still there, and you're one touchdown away from like a, oh, thank God I did that. It's fine.
Yeah. I think I'm with you where you have to play him, just because Kelvin's not a guy who, you know, runs crisp routes or gets separation with his speed or whatever. He's just kind of a guy who it's like, get him out there and like, he's a gigantic dude and throw the ball in his general vicinity and like hope for the best. And that doesn't really, like, he doesn't need to know the playbook down to a T to be at least effective on some plays.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you playing Tyrod this week? We didn't really mention him as a streamer, and I think that's because I think he's an every week starter. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm in the same area as you, where I'm like, oh, we don't even need to mention him. But yes, absolutely, start Tyrod. He is just great.
Yeah, absolutely. And then obviously McCoy is an every week start. Is there anyone else on Buffalo that you'd be looking to, the Nick O'Leary's or the Zay Jones or Jordan Matthews or Andre Holmes of the world?
Brandon Tate too, man.
Oh yeah, Brandon Tate.
Yeah, I'm not starting any of those guys. Maybe Nick O'Leary, but that train kind of died last week, so I'm kind of out. So
yeah.
If you're in a lot of trouble, maybe.
Yeah, I think those tight ends, you know, that we mentioned before are certainly better starts, and hopefully at least one of them is available for you so you don't have to go down to Nick O'Leary. So let's move to the Jets side of the ball. Obviously, we mentioned McCown as a streamer here. We've mentioned Robbie Anderson. Do you want anything to do with this insanely whack-ass backfield?
No, just like last week when we both said different names, I think we do it again. Like, I probably lean Forte again, and you maybe Powell?
Yeah, I would lean Powell.
Exactly. So I think we're out on that again. I think
that might be the opposite of what we said last week, too.
I definitely said Forte, and I think you said...
Oh, did you?
Yeah, okay. I think you said Powell, too. So okay, we're consistent on that, at least.
Yeah, it's just tough to really, really trust any of them. So, I mean, besides that, we mentioned Anderson. You and I have discussed how ASJ is an every week starter. He didn't really deliver that much this week, but I still think he's an every week starter. Are you with me there?
Yeah, I do too. He's still getting, you know, six targets a game. They just need to, they didn't really utilize him early, and they kind of don't in games. They lean on him later, and it seems that they should get him more involved. And then red zone touchdown was taken from him by Tomlinson, whoever that is.
Yeah. So the reason that was so disappointing was because I was watching on Gamecast. Yeah. And it came up as like 20 yard touchdown ASJ. I was like, sick. And then it immediately flipped to Eric Tomlinson. I was just like, oh, come on.
Yeah. But I watched that live and you guys all texted like, I love ASJ. I'm like, oh dude, it wasn't him. I'm so sorry.
So brutal. The last name we should probably mention for the Jets is Jermaine Kearse. He's still been relevant despite not putting up Robbie Anderson type numbers. Do you think he's worth it at all if, like, maybe you're strapped on a bye or there are other guys for you?
Yeah, strapped for a bye, definitely. One thing to note is Jeremy Curley got suspended today out of seemingly nowhere. So that's probably going to be in effect for at least this game. So Kearse will get more targets, if not his usual, somewhere floating around the 6-7 area. So, yeah, like you said, if you're strapped, go for it.
Yeah, I think I'm right with you on that one. I think it's a tough one. So if you need to play Kearse, you need to play Kearse, and you just kind of hope for the best. Keep an eye out, like I said, on the Buffalo secondary and their health, because if you've got, you know, backup starting, that makes Kearse an even more viable play. So yeah, just keep an eye out there. Vinny, you got anything else on this game?
No, I was going to ask, you're going to bet this over, right?
I think I'm going to bet that over pretty hard. I think nice. I think I'm going to get after that. but yeah, I think that pretty much does it for me. We've got the week 9 preview, coming later on this week. That'll be Shrek and Rogers recording that on Thursday night during the Thursday night game. So they'll be previewing the rest of the games for this week. That'll be hitting, you know, your iPhone or wherever you do get our podcasts on Friday morning, and then Saturday morning, I believe, will be when those are coming out. So keep an eye out for those. You know, we'll have a lot of lineup questions in there. Make sure you are subscribing so you do get that right to your phone on Friday and Saturday morning. And make sure you're sending in your questions to us. We love answering your guys' questions. You know, we'll answer them on the podcast. We'll answer them through email, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever the case may be. So yeah, Vinny, you got anything else for the listeners for today?
That's it, man. Hope everyone had a nice Halloween.
Yeah.
This was a spooktacular episode.
Oh yeah, we're real spooktacular. We're fucking spooked the fuck out, dude. spooky. I forgot about that. So anyway, for Count Vinny, I am Walsh. And later podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.